Welcome to Conquering Our Unseen Enemies. In this podcast, we help believers develop spiritual discernment. I am your host, Dawn Simmons, author, speaker, and YouTube host of Life Journey with Dawn Simmons. My purpose here is to explain Satan's strategies and how his kingdom functions to better equip you in reducing conflict, chaos, and ultimately eliminate Satan's influence in your life. These are life-changing conversations. We'll get started with this week's message in just a few moments, but first I want to ask you, would you like to know more about biblical history or historic and biblical places? Visit my YouTube channel, Life Journey with Dawn Simmons, to watch and learn about travels in historic areas discussed in the Bible. Come with us as we explore ancient places and share cultural background and influences on early Christianity. We will take you places where Paul wrote and shared the gospel. That's Life Journey with Dawn Simmons on YouTube. Welcome back. I am your host, Dawn Simmons, and in this episode of Conquering Our Unseen Enemies, we are going to be discussing part two of two demonic influences, the demon of guilt and the demon of shame. These two demons can work separately, but they are intertwined, and when they work together, it's like a 1-2 punch coming against us. This week, we're going to discuss the demon of shame and talk more about how these demons work against us and what we need to do to evict them from our lives. Now, before we begin, I want to ask our regular listeners to consider supporting us each week as we work to provide you quality and useful information. Now, for the month of April, we are sending our monthly supporters an appreciation gift of anointing oil, and it has information on the biblical use of anointing oil, as well as the how-tos, so you know how to anoint your home or your car or your business or whatever it is you have. Your support is appreciated more than we can express, and you can show your support at www.buzzsprout.com/1995558. /support. There is a link in the notes. Okay, so let's review again the definitions of both guilt and shame. So guilt, the fact of having committed a breach of conduct, especially violating law and involving a penalty, and shame, a painful emotion caused by consciousness of guilt, shortcoming, or impropriety. Now, in our last episode, we talked about guilt as being the strong man. If you recall, the reason behind that is we feel guilty before we feel shame. Even if it is a nanosecond earlier, it is still guilt showing up first. We can feel guilt even before we do something. If we're thinking about doing something we know is wrong, we're already feeling conviction. We already know, and we feel guilty as we are in the process of doing it or deciding to do it. When we start to feel the pain of shame is generally after we've done something we shouldn't have, and now we feel the shame towards ourselves about it. The demon of shame can increase its strength if we do nothing about it. If instead we choose to remain silent, hide it, pretend it didn't happen, or lie about it, we compound shame's impact drastically. Shame feeds itself and then invites embarrassment, unworthiness, and whatever demons are involved in your sin. For example, if it is an affair, then the demon of lust will join shame and adultery. If it's an emotional affair, then it is a fantasy lust. If the sin involves alcohol or drugs, then we can expect the demon of addiction or escape to make their way into our life. When we feel shame, it has a more direct impact on how we feel about ourselves, how we identify ourselves as either a good person or a bad person. Are we a successful person or are we a failure as a person? Shame hits us at our core. If it is a sin issue we're struggling with over and over, then we likely see ourselves as a failure and not worthy of seeking God's forgiveness. Those thoughts place a wedge between us and God. We don't accept Jesus as our Savior because we're rejecting what he did for us on the cross. We're walking down a path of eternal separation by holding this inside and not dealing with it with him. I've seen some people try to cope with their shame by doing good works. The thought is that they can make up for what they're doing by evening out their offense. They think they will feel better about themselves because they did something because of it, something that was good. Doing something good does not wipe out the bad any more than people who think they can buy off their guilt feelings. Nowhere in the Bible does it say to make amends for your sin by doing good works. There are some religions that teach that, and it's entirely unbiblical. We need to seek forgiveness for our sins. Our repentance is a part of that, or it's not a true seeking of forgiveness. Out of repentance, if we want to do good works, then so be it. But we're not they're not tied to any past sinful behavior as a way to absolve anyone of anything. Works done to seek absolution are useless and a waste of time. Seeking forgiveness without repentance is dangerous and a waste of time. God is not mocked. When we carry shame, we carry the weight of our sin. When we have sincerely sought forgiveness and we still carry around shame, then we are carrying around the lies of the enemy. You can still have feelings of what you did. That's conviction coming in. But we do have to move forward, deal with the consequences, particularly if it affects someone else, and maintain a restored relationship with the Lord. The demon of shame wants to tell you none of that is possible, that you're rejected by God, that you're no longer able to approach God. All of that is a lie. What can happen if we do not deal with our shame, but instead hide it, hoping no one will discover what we've done? Inevitably, unaddressed shame will begin to bubble up and we can, we'll see a change of behavior. Example, anger issues may creep into situations that may be bothersome, but not so much to elicit anger. I've talked before about what I consider to be a loud and quiet spirits. Shame starts off as quiet because it wants you to feel bad and keep it hidden. If it remains hidden, it remains in your life. Slowly, it will percolate. The slower it can percolate, the easier it can remain incognito. Ultimately, it wants to lead you to destruction. So a slow percolate, I don't think that's correct grammar, but you know what I mean, we'll accomplish that more effectively than a loud bang. You may not realize shame is behind these new emerging emotions, and that is even better. You aren't going to want to talk about it. If shame can get you feeling bad enough about yourself, and if you don't talk, you won't seek forgiveness. You'll steer clear of conviction and anyone who will try to get you to draw close to the Lord. Shame works from the inside out, while guilt works from the outside inward. Shame can lead to depression and anxiety. Unfortunately, shame can take you so far down the road of despair that you will even consider suicide. It is a very strong demon. This is not a low-level demon, and we need to understand that and take it seriously enough that we want to seek eviction immediately. Shame will produce numerous fears in us as well. We can have a fear of condemnation, fear of accusation, fear of judgment. Guilt is easier to address. Guilt can be produced in us for things done to us, omissions on our part. We can admit to guilt. Often it's easier. We may get caught and we can't get around our guilt. Shame, on the other hand, we don't openly address shame. We don't do that. We don't want to address shame. We want to hide it. Put guilt and shame together and we get that 1-2 punch. We may justify our guilt, but we don't generally justify our shame. We can't. We know when we are justifying that we're lying and making excuses. Our shame confirms we are lying when we justify. So no, we know guilt. We know about shame. We see how they work separately. We see how they work together. Now what? We know about those two demons. Well, now we need to get rid of them. In order to do that, I'm going to give you some steps. I think it's 6 steps here. 6 steps. You ready? Here's the first one. We have to first acknowledge our guilt and our shame with ourselves and then with the Lord. He already knows anyhow. We can't hide anything from him. So come clean and come clean entirely. Until you can do that, you will limit and even block your ability to get guilt and shame out of your life. Now, what if you're carrying guilt and shame, either one of them, from childhood as a byproduct of how you were raised? Still go through these steps because we're trying to break the sin that placed these on you. We want to break the sin that occurred to bring it in your life and then your role in perpetuating it, even if you didn't know better. Ignorance is no excuse, and we want to evict, not argue about the semantics of what you knew or didn't know. Next, we need to repent. The act of repentance is a complete turning away from the sinful behavior. If you don't think you can do that, then you need to work on the root of what is causing you to sin. To be in a cycle of sin, repentance over and over is not going to work. You didn't actually repent if you keep returning to your sin. So repentance needs to be taken seriously as a complete turning away. Again, even if this was created as a byproduct of how you were raised or what a poorly indoctrinated church or pastor taught you, we want to repent of any involvement with it. We don't want to give the enemy any legal rights to remain. So a complete repentance is one step in how we remove those rights. Step 3, ask for forgiveness. This includes forgiving yourself. We want to seek forgiveness for any and all, knowing and unknowing, participation in activities, thoughts, behaviors that resulted in your guilt and shame. Any condemnation of yourself, a lack of forgiveness to others or yourself. This is essential. Without this step, we will not receive the forgiveness we need to move forward. 4, look for any areas in your life that will lead you back to feelings of shame or guilt. We don't want to carry the past around. We don't want to be reminded of the past. We don't want to associate with people who are part of the past that led us into any sin or who are continually bringing you back to those feelings of guilt and shame, particularly when those feelings are a result of a byproduct of your childhood or an unbiblical church or pastoral teaching. So if this is coming from a church, you need to find another church. If these are coming from your friends, you need to find better friends. 5, we need to tell the demons of guilt and the demons of shame and any and all of its associates to leave you immediately. You are a child of God and are covered by the blood of Jesus, and you do not want them in your life. Revoke their access to you and any rights they have to your mind, body, and spirit. This is really important. If you don't tell them to leave, they're not going to leave. You have to give them this eviction notice. 6, we need to make sure we are being proactive in remaining in a repentant, forgiven state. If we do not have proactive measures in place, what do you think will happen? Well, we don't want the enemy to come back and find your house, your spiritual house, empty and start trying to move in again. We need to fill the empty house we just created, and we want to fill it with the Holy Spirit and the Word. Very important, please invite the Holy Spirit into your life to move and grow in you. Read the Bible, have some scriptures ready to quote when you feel the enemy is antagonizing you. Be strong. Remember, here's a good one, Isaiah 54:17. Remember this one. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. It's a simple one, easy to remember. And it's a weapon. When the enemy is coming back at you, it's a weapon formed against you. That's why we have a shield of faith, right? There's darts and arrows and things coming at us. We need to stand firm on that and be ready and be proactive. If you can do these six steps, you are going to rid yourself of carrying around this burden and the bondage of guilt and shame. And that's what we need to do. We want to conquer our unseen enemies of guilt and shame and rid ourselves of that, give them the eviction notice, follow these six steps, and move forward with the Holy Spirit. Conquer this stuff and get it out. I hope this has been time that inspires you to want to learn to grow in your relationship with the Lord and build your desire to partner with Him. We want to grow in Him and learn how to work with Him to build the kingdom and conquer our unseen enemies. The more we grow, the more our life will change, and you can change the lives of anyone around you who is willing. Now, if you're growing through this podcast, again, consider supporting us each month as we continue to build the kingdom of God. You can do that at buzzsprout.com/1995558/support. And if you know anyone who might benefit from this, please share. So as always, now let's discuss our top show points. So this was part 2 of 2 on guilt and shame. Guilt is the fact of having committed a breach of conduct, especially violating law and involving a penalty. Shame is a painful emotion caused by consciousness of guilt, shortcoming, or impropriety. The demon of shame can increase its strength if we don't do anything about it. If we choose to remain silent, hide it, or lie about it, we compound shame's impact drastically. Shame feeds itself and then invites embarrassment, unworthiness, and whatever demons are involved in your sin. When we feel shame, it has a more direct impact on how we feel about ourselves, how we identify ourselves as either a good person or a bad person. And those thoughts are what place a wedge between us and God. I've seen some people try to cope with their shame by doing good works, and nowhere does the Bible say to make amends for your sin by doing good works. We need to seek forgiveness for our sins. Our repentance is a part of that, or it is not a true seeking of forgiveness. So out of repentance, if we want to do good works, you know, they can't be, you can't think that it's going to absolve what you've done. They can't be tied together. When we carry shame, we carry the weight of our sin. And when we've sincerely sought forgiveness and we still carry around shame, then we're carrying around the lies of the enemy. Unaddressed shame will bubble up and we will see a change in behavior, and anger is typically one of the things that you'll see. Shame works from the inside out while guilt works from the outside inward. Shame can lead to depression and anxiety. You know, we can have a fear of condemnation, accusation, or a fear of judgment. We don't want to address shame. We'd rather hide it. And we may justify guilt, but we won't try to justify our shame. And then some steps to take. There were 6 steps to get rid of both shame and guilt. And the first one is to acknowledge our guilt and shame with ourselves and then with the Lord. The second thing is to repent. So the act of repentance is a complete turning away from sinful behavior. And we have to do that because we don't want to give the enemy any legal right to remain in our lives. So a complete repentance is one step in how we remove those rights. Third, ask for forgiveness. This includes forgiving yourself. Without this step, we will not receive the forgiveness we need to move forward. Fourth, look for any areas in your life that will lead you right back to feelings of shame or guilt, because we want to avoid those, get rid of those, cut those out of our lives. Fifth, we need to tell the demons of guilt and the demons of shame and any and all of its associates to leave you immediately. You want to revoke their access to you and any rights they have to your mind, body, and spirit. Sixth, we need to make sure we are being proactive in remaining in a repentant, forgiven state. Invite the Holy Spirit into your life to move and grow in you. Read the Bible, have scriptures ready to grow, to go when you feel like the enemy is beginning to antagonize you. And use a scripture such as Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Use your name. Put your name in there. No weapon formed against Dawn shall prosper. Okay, your name's not Dawn, but you know what I'm saying. All right, now we encourage you to have an active, maybe your name is Dawn. If you are, give me a shout out because there's not very many of us out there. We encourage you to have an active Bible reading plan. If you want a personal relationship with the Lord, you need to be active about reading His Word. Take a look at my newest book, Conquering Our Unseen Enemies. It's available on Amazon or on our website at conqueringourunseenenemies.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram or Facebook, Conquering Our Unseen Enemies. I have enjoyed our time this week, and I look forward to spending time with you again next week.
That is all we have for this week's episode of Conquering Our Unseen Enemies. I hope you enjoyed your time with me, and I would kindly ask you to rate our show and follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Conquering Our Unseen Enemies. Now, if you have a story or a question you want to share, please email me at contact@conqueringourunseenenemies.com. We do not need to use your name. And finally, please share this podcast with anyone you think might need it and enjoy it. So until next time, remember, the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, but we can give him an eviction notice.